Dance on the air. We're here cause we care. We ask all the questions that others don't dare. We're dads on the air. We're dads on the air.
And welcome back to Dads on the Air, coming to you around Australia on the Community Radio Network. In this program, we bring you informing and entertaining conversations with a wide range of interesting people on topics of family and parenting, men's and boys' issues. Hi, I'm Bill Cable, and with me in the studio today is Ken Thompson.
Hi, Bill, and hi, everybody.
Today we have a special guest on the program, that is Para Pahia. Para is the author of The Power of Good People, Surviving Sri Lanka's Civil War. He is an Australian citizen, born and raised in Sri Lanka, from a family that was very poor by Australian standards. But he was able to go to university, where he graduated with an honours degree. But the most amazing part of Para's story is that he has survived a civil war, genocide, and been shipwrecked at sea to be with us here today. Para, welcome to Dads on the Air.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us, and thanks for the audience. Thank you.
So, Para, the title of your book is The Power of Good People. And you say at the start that the main purpose in writing the book was to say Nunri, which I think means thank you. When things are going badly, were you still able to think about the kindness of other people?
Of course. That's why we named the name, the book, Nunri, earlier. Then we changed the name, The Power of Good People. The Nunri means, Nunri in a Tamil word, but it means in English, thank you. So I need to thank the people who saw the kindness on my life and could change in my life, and they saved my life. So that's what I need to thank.
Well, I think it's, yes, very, very impressive that you were able to think of the good that the people did when you're surrounded by so many other things. And I guess, in particular, Ali Cork was very helpful to you when you got to the last stage of coming to Australia.
Of course. So since I arrived to Christmas Island, so Ali Cork, she's a grandmother, she lives in Apollo Bay. I was in detention center for 2 years. So she keep writing me and she helped us, not only for me. While I was in detention center, she was looking after my wife and son. They were back home in Sri Lanka. She and her husband and the children help us a lot. So then we both wrote that book, The Power of Good People.
Going back to your time in Sri Lanka, Para, what were the reasons for you to leave your homeland of Sri Lanka?
It's a beautiful tiny island. It is a multicultural country. Like we lived there are 3-4 races, and we were just, it was a very peaceful country. But later on, there was a 3 decades is a ethnic war. And while I was a student at the university, I was the student union president, the school leader. We need to keep the balance that time, because that time was the peace process on place. And we are the common body. We need to keep the balance, and with the security forces and the LTTE as well.
And as part of that struggle and how it affected you personally, you were locked up in jail, you were taken away in white vans, you were even tortured, weren't you?
That's right. After we got married, we had a very peaceful life, been kidnapped and been tortured, and luckily I could escape through the district Catholic bishop. So after that, we went to other place. We need to save our life, look after my wife as well, but then being arrested and being jailed and tortured. So it was a very difficult time for us. So we didn't have any choice. So that's the reason we had to leave the country.
And it's interesting that you mentioned then that was one of the people that helped you was a Catholic bishop, and yet
yep.
You yourself are Hindu, I think.
Yeah. But, you know, the most of Sri Lankan, around 99% that they believe religion. And I'm a Hindu, so the priest from Catholic. So, but that time, you know, we need someone to find out, to help me out from the detention. So the Catholic bishop really helped us. He saved my life.
The first of a number of people that saved your life to get to this stage where we are today. And we might take a short break here, Para, and I thought we'd play a song that perhaps describes your condition along the way. This is a song called Help by the Beatles.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone. Help. When I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way.
And that was Help by the Beatles. And we're speaking today with Para Pahir, who is the author of The Power of Good People, Surviving Sri Lanka's Civil War. Para, we've just talked about how you had to get out of Sri Lanka and you went to India, but I think you found you weren't able to stay in India either.
Yeah, that's right, because it was 2009, May, the war was ended in Sri Lanka. It was a massive massacre happened by the Sri Lankan forces on Tamils. It is a UN United Nations High Commission report. According to their report, they said nearly 60,000 innocent Tamils been killed in last 2-3 days in the end of the war. I lost my few relatives, my cousins in the war, and by the time we were in India, so. That time, Indian government, they believe many LTT members, LTT cadres, they escaped from Sri Lanka by boat. They were arrived in Indian seaside. So that time, Indian intelligence, they were searching the people who were come from Sri Lanka. And we heard many stories. They were handed out some LTT former members to Sri Lankan government back. So we realized the situation were going very bad, and we had to choose any other option to escape from India as well, but not the option to return to Sri Lanka. We could not go back to there. So I was asking my wife, what is the best option were at that time? So that time we decided to leave the country, but we didn't have a passport. We didn't have a visa to enter any countries. So by the time there was a people smugglers, they were approach the innocent Tamils or the refugees who were fleeing from Sri Lanka to send any overseas. So through one people smuggler, there's an agent, through him, I had a chance to get a boat to seek asylum anywhere in the world. That's the reason we couldn't live in India and we leave the country.
Now, I think when you say LTT, that's the Tamil Tigers, isn't it? And that's right.
That's called Liberation Tigers of Tamil Eelam. That's called Tamil Tigers.
Yes, well known. And look, unfortunately, like in most wars, I think there were atrocities committed, but really on both sides, what you're saying, both the Sinhalese and the Tamil Tigers committed atrocities and the innocent people suffered.
Yeah, that's right. Yep, yep.
Para, why did you decide to travel alone without your wife, Jayantha, and your child, Abby?
Yeah, that's a good question as well. And the reason was, I didn't know that how we are going to travel, and we didn't know that what the people smuggler organized that. So I asked my wife what to do, and she didn't want to leave me because the son, my son, was just 1 year old. And she asked me, they also did want to come with us. I called the agent, the people smuggler, and he said, this is the boat we were going to send one of the country. You can seek asylum, but it is definitely not for women and children. And he told us, this is the first boat we are going to send from this area. And if you want to save your life, you can choose. If you don't want to come, that's fine. And I asked my wife what to do. She said, rather than being arrested and deported to Sri Lanka, just try. If you want, you can try. So I told her, I need to save my life to look after you and my son. So I decided to leave there in India, and I came by boat.
That must have been a dreadfully hard decision for you to leave your wife and baby child.
Yeah, of course. The day we left, before we left, and according to our tradition, so it's called Vithyarambam. That means that was the first day the dad and mom, that both the parents sitting and writing in our language first letters on the rice. That's a formal first starting position to the children started to study. So we had to do the Vithyarambam, and my wife asked me, so could we organize this Vithyarambam before you leave? And we organized a small event, just me and myself and my wife and with the son. We organized the first letters writing process, and we did that. After that, the people smuggler called me, can you come to train to gather this particular place? That was very emotional, and it is hard to leave my son and my wife. And along the way, they came under the nearest railway station, but they both were very crying, and it is very hardest time. Yeah.
The next thing was that you were found yourself on a tiny boat with 39 others, and when the boat started sinking. And when the boat was sinking, could you see any other boats in the area that might be able to rescue you?
After we travel, after 20 days or something, our boat in a very critical condition, and our crews, the fishing boat crews, they ask anyone could speak any English to communicate with the Australian authorities. So I was the one at least can speak a little bit English that time, and they provided a satellite phone to call the Australian authorities, and I called them. And by that time, they said we would find a boat or ship, anything travel along the way, we will send it to you. And until then, just keep your boat without sinking. And if it is anything happen, just keep update with us. We saw a fishing boat traveling just close to us, and we wave our hand to come to close to us. But the fishing boat people, they were very scared because they were thinking it was a pirate boat. Mm. And they were keep rounding around our boat. They keep asking what happened. And I tried to explain them, but because of the big waves and the noise, they couldn't hear anything. And they asked, can you send anyone to our boat who can swim and explain why you are staying there? Our boat, the asylum seekers, they asked me, Para, you can speak English. So you go and talk with them. I decided to swim and reach other boat and explain to the fishing boat captain. But I jumped into the water straight away. I started a drone because I didn't know how to swim it. So the other people helped me to pick me up from the water. And again, I told the other captain, I could send the other two people who can swim, but I will write a note. So what actually happened, they will pass the message. So other two people jump into the water, they reach other boat.
Then your boat, that Taiwanese boat then moved away and your boat sank. So you were in the water for a number of hours then, weren't you?
Yeah, that's right. But initial, I couldn't understand what happened to the Taiwanese fishing boat. They just left the scene before the other, it's called LNG Pioneer gas tanker arrived at the scene. And we thought the Taiwanese fishing boat will stay with us, but they left. And later on, we saw the other boat before they came to the scene. And as soon as we saw the massive fishing tanker approach us, and I told the others, I think this is the vessel is going to rescue us. Before the gas tanker arrived the scene, our fishing boat sank into the ocean. So I could hear the people screaming, and the people don't know how to swim, and the people were disappeared, people were being taken by shark, and it was a massive incident. And I could remember that time, I tried to swim, I couldn't swim. I hold a can, container, and I hold in my hand. I don't want to leave that because that was the only one saved my life. And there was a man who was swimming. He said, "Para, can you come with me? I could help you to get the gas tanker." And I had to trust the man, and I followed his direction. There were six people were swimming with me, and we were swimming just close to us, each other. And time goes one by one, and they miss one by one. We were missing them. Finally, I and that other man, and we both swimming towards the fishing tanker. It takes nearly 11 or 12 hours. I been rescued by them.
Extraordinary story. And then you had to climb up the rope ladder, and I think one of your friends tripped on or slipped on that rope ladder and didn't make it, did he?
Oh, it is too sad. His name's called Sinathambi. He was my friend, and we were taken up from the ladder, and we reached the position on the LNG Pioneer, the top, and I explained the captain actually what was happened, and I saw other 16 others being rescued by that time. I was the last one. And the next day morning, he called me, he sent a crew to come to the captain office. I went and see him. He said there was a man swimming towards the ship. Just tell him in your language, don't swim through the backside from the ship. It was a massive propeller, the fan still working. Just say your language. Just come to the front. Do not to swim into the back. But he saw the ladder. It's a hanging ladder. It's a massive ship tanker. He caught the ladder. And I told him, whatever they said in English, I just translated it through the mic. I told him, just be patient. Just call the ladder and just be patient. Take one by one the step. But he was in the water over 18 or 19 hours. He was freezing, and he get the ladder. Just he get the middle part of the boat, the LNG tanker. He gave up. He just slip over the ladder. He just went to the down. I asked the captain what happened. Then he checked the camera and underneath the water. He said he'd been cut by the propeller. Mm-hmm. And I saw the cut dead bodies and the cans and the legs. It was flooding over the water. It was a disaster. I still remember that man. And I feel very sorry for him, but it is a terrible incident.
You were separated from your wife, Jayantha, and his son, Abby, for some 8 years. And are you now reunited?
Yeah, of course. We are reunited just 1 month ago. So we've been separated for 8 years because of the government policies on asylum seekers and refugees. Because I arrived to the Christmas Island Detention Center in 2009, and since then I've been kept in detention center for 2 years in various detention centers, Christmas Island, then being transferred to Darwin detention centers, then being transferred to Queensland. So finally I got out from the detention center as a community detention detainee with the Alison Coker family. And since that, I got my permanent residency in 2011 September. Since that day, we tried we applied twice to bring my family, bring my wife and son with me. Then the government keep the changes their asylum seekers and refugee policies, and finally we receive a notice from the government that they said you are not eligible to bring your wife and son until you get your citizenship. We tried many ways to bring my wife and son, but all our approaches, all our attempts blocked by the government. Eventually, I received my citizenship in January 2017, this year. And after that, we made an application again. This was the third time. And finally, last month is 30th of September 2017, and just 1 month ago, my wife and son arrived to Melbourne.
Well, it must have been a wonderful scene. And now that you are back together again, and in view of your experiences, what are the most important things that you tell your son, Abi?
I need to spend time with my son, and I need to tell him the important thing is being kindness. Just help one person in your life, just one person, then you can see the difference on others.
And we're speaking today with Para Pahir, who is the author of The Power of Good People, Surviving Sri Lanka's Civil War. And we can only hope that when people hear your story, Para, that some bad attitudes towards boat people might start changing. But we've reached the stage of the program where we ask our guests to pick a song. Would you like to tell us which song you've picked and why you've picked it?
I picked up this song, A Bridge Over Troubled Waters, and I love this song. And when we are in a very, very bad, very dark situation, someone approach like a friend or like anyone, could be anyone. They approach us, they change our life. They are the brightest people, like Alison Cook and her husband, Charlie Cook, and their families as well. And when we were in a trouble, someone could help us. All my life, many people, I could name someone, but I couldn't name many people and who saved my life, who gave my life. So that's the reason I picked up this song, and I really enjoy this song because it's not unforgettable song for my life.
Sail on, silver girl. Sail on by. Your time has come to shine. All your dreams are on their way. See how they shine.
And that was a wonderful song chosen by our guest today, Parapahia. It's The Bridge Over Troubled Water by Simon and Garfunkel. So it just remains me now to thank you, Para. Para, thank you very much for being on the program today.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me on the program. Thank you so much.
And Para, I could just give you an update. He works in intensive care at Geelong University Hospital, and he also does night shifts in aged care, making a wonderful contribution to the community. Don't forget, we'd love to hear from any of our listeners. You can go to our website, dadsontheair.com.au, and send us an email, and we'll be in touch. If you'd like to listen to this show again or any of our shows, go to our website, dadsontheair.com.au, or you can follow us on Facebook or Twitter. And we'll be back next week with another show on Dads on the Air.